News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the BC. It is Sunday, the 26th of February, Anno Domini 2006. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. And
yeah, you're something.
Me, you are.
He's crazy.
I'm a little punchy this morning. I'm not going to lie, so don't mind me.
No, we don't.
We never try not to.
We never pay attention to you or mind you.
You know what?
No.
I got
you're
the buttons.
On the air now.
Huh?
You're on the air now. Be careful.
I'll probably help if I put my earphone in, huh?
Wouldn't be a bit. Yeah, then you could stop saying huh all the time. Huh?
Hang on, I got it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Happy now?
Yeah, I've got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
You good?
Sure?
Whatever.
can you hear us now?
Yeah, can you hear us now? Give us a call. You know the numbers, 222-1180. If you're on the Choice One toll-free line, it's 800-295-1180. And, of course, if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's star 1180. First thing we're going to do, we're going to talk about origami.
I haven't done that in years.
We have my wife and I own a coffee stand at the public market, Flower City Coffee Company. Come down and have some.
Great hazelnut coffee.
And there's a guy who comes every morning and he gives us folded origami bills.
Cool.
And origami stuff. He does some great things.
I think he's, I know him.
Created some original origami.
He paid his bill that way?
Well, he comes to the cider meetings and always pays his after bill with folded up money.
There you go.
And the poor waitress doesn't know what to do with it. Do I unfold it to get my money out of it? Or
yeah, right. however, origami seems to be a code name for a new gadget Microsoft is talking about. It's a concept gadget. It's not a real thing. It's sort of a mini-me PC kind of thing. It's very hard to get any information about it. The Origami site, which is at origamiproject.com, has this little cryptic thing on it right now, but they say more information will be unveiled on March 2nd, so stay tuned. There was a different project called Origami from a company called National Semiconductor. And it was kind of a little bit of everything thing. It was a phone, depending on how you folded it, which is why they called it origami.
Yep.
It was a phone. It was a portable computer. It was a this. It was a that. It was a music player. It was all that other stuff. So I have no idea what this origami thing is. But if you go to origamiproject.com, and Steve will have that up on the site in a second.
I'm looking at it now, and it's quite odd.
It is quite odd, but the theory is on March 2nd, there'll be a little more information. So stay tuned. We'll keep you informed as we know more, which is rare for us to actually know more, but we'll do what we can.
We try.
In the meantime, we'll go to the phones, and our first caller is Bob from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Well, I tried cleaning out Norton Professional in order to install another antivirus.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I couldn't do that because there's always something left. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going into my files and removing anything that had Symantec or Norton or NAV attached to it. And now I can only boot in safe mode.
All right.
Sounds like you took out too much.
Yeah. I know I did.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
The problem is when you deleted all the stuff from, say, the programs and all that,
right?
There are still hundreds of entries in the registry.
Yeah.
Norton has a utility. If you can get onto another computer, there is, I think it's called NAV.
It's the Symantec Uninstaller.
Yeah, there's one program that Norton puts out there that will uninstall everything, even in the registry.
Okay. Now,
and that's the part where we don't recommend most folks going, because if you mess stuff up in the registry, your machine might not boot at all.
It may be on your original Norton CD already. It's usually called RNAV, Remove Norton Antivirus, and then the year of your antivirus, 2003, 2004. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one called SimClean. that can clean out the registry entry. So they may already be on your Norton CD now.
Okay.
The trick is you can't get to the CD drive when you're in safe mode.
Yes, he can. He should be able to if he's running Windows XP.
No, that finally works
I'm
now?
I'm running the dreaded ME.
Back up, Dave.
On another computer, you'll have to put these utilities on a floppy so that you can access them on this effective machine in the in safe mode.
I can do that. Mm. But is it possible for me to reinstall Windows if I never get a disk when I bought the machine?
Nope.
No.
No, you must have a CD. And this is the thing I hate about so many national vendors. They don't give you the disk when you buy the system, and
that's
you can't
cost extra.
Reinstall. Yeah, you can't reinstall without it. You may be able to call the vendor and buy one.
Or it's in a hidden partition on the hard drive.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry, we have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, we've got lots of people on the line. We've got Daryl and Steve and Linda and Rich. But before we do, I just want to mention, if you are using Winamp, which is a great streaming media player for Windows, and you can certainly, there's a free version that does lots of cool stuff, and you can actually, of course, use it to listen to this show.
Streaming I still like live. Total Recorder.
Total Recorder is phenomenal. But if you are using Winamp, you need to update it immediately. There are some serious bugs in, well, pretty much every version that exists today. There's a problem, particularly in the M3U playlist files, where specially crafted M3U could cause your computer to crash. It does. It also allows an intruder to execute code, so it's now highly critical. So you want to go to 5.13, which is the latest version. So if you're running Winamp, you want 5.13. Get that right now. Right now. It's that is in honor of Don Knotts, who has passed away.
I just saw that. I just saw that on TV just now. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yep. Don Knotts has passed away. How sad.
His last role was as Mayor Turkey Lurkey in Chicken Little.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yep.
He was great. He was great. Hmm. I watched him all the time on the Andy
Griffith. Well,
of course, the incredible Mr. Limpet.
Well, you just see
Three's Company.
Three's Company.
He was all over the place.
He did everything.
Three's Company.
Yeah.
A career spanning more than 50 years.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett Show.
Yeah. No. But anyway, back to the phones. Daryl from Gates is on the line. Welcome, Daryl. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I reformatted and reloaded Windows 98, second edition.
Mm-hmm.
And it shuts down. It works just fine, but on shutdown, it shuts down immediately. It doesn't say Windows 98 is shutting down like it always did before. What's wrong?
All right. If you go into
nothing.
No, there's a shutdown patch.
Okay.
Well, the shutdown patch was to fix a problem where it wouldn't shut down. It just sat on that. It's now shutting down forever.
Well, here's the thing, though, Daryl. When Windows shuts down, the reason you see that first screen is because there's things running in the background that are waiting to shut down.
Okay.
If there's nothing waiting to shut down, it shuts down faster.
You won't get the message then.
Right. Technically, you don't want it.
Does it restart again normally?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's it. It should be fine. Now, once you've been using it for a while and building stuff up, let's say... your antivirus runs in the background. A bunch of other things may run in the background. Those can take time to shut down, and that's when you see the message.
Okay. Okay, then.
You should be fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, normally, because a lot of folks will have to go into the MS config and into advanced features.
Yeah, and a brand new install, which after a reformat, there's nothing running that needs to wait.
Right.
The danger would be is if on the next reboot it says you didn't shut down properly and I have to fix things.
Right, yeah. Then there's a problem. But if it comes back up, you're fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye.
Our next caller, Steve from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. Great show.
Thank you.
I know you've talked about this before. This is a Mac question, and I'm running an older software, 9.2.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, what's the easiest browser and email to use for 9.2?
Oh, that's tough, because not many companies I don't think any company still updates any of their software for 9.2. Internet Explorer 5.17 and Outlook Express 5.06 were the last versions of those to run in OS 9. There is a browser.
I don't want to use Microsoft.
Firefox and Thunderbird don't run on 9?
No, they require 10. You can get an older version of Mozilla 1.2 or something that still ran in OS 9. There is a browser called iCab, I think it is. Let me find it. That still is supported for OS 9. Yeah, iCab.de.
Uh-huh.
Let me make sure I've got the right list here. So it's getting a little tricky finding stuff to run on the very old systems.
Right. I understand. So maybe Mozilla and iCab.
Yeah, you can go to browserwatch.com or Version Tracker or any of the download sites and search for OS 9 software. It's going to be the older versions of anything.
Right.
So you may have trouble running websites that require modern versions of Flash or Shockwave, because I think, you know, like probably Shockwave 6 was the last one that came out for OS 9. You can't get version 8.
Right.
So it's for basic browsing, it'll work fine, but you're getting farther and farther behind the rest of the internet.
I see.
Yeah, even the Mozilla people recommend iCab for Mac OS 9.
That's where it jogged my memory, because I was just reading the Mozilla page the other day.
There you go.
Now, does iCab do both browser and email?
No, just browser.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you can use you can use webmail from your internet provider through the browser if you want. But there's nothing as badly wrong with the Microsoft products on the Mac as there is under Windows. Because it's not so tied to the operating system, it's not as dangerous to use on the Mac. There are still the spoofing dangers, and because they're old versions that haven't been updated and officially discontinued by Microsoft several years ago, you're not going to get the latest security updates.
I see. And also, though, you're not going to get as many viruses on the old 9.2 software, right?
Well, there's a couple of dozen viruses out for OS 9, but they don't circulate very much because hardly anyone's running OS 9 anymore, especially on the internet.
Eudora is also available. It's going to cost you, if you want the paid mode, it's going to cost you $40, but there's a free mode with ads. So OS Eudora is still available, and that's at eudora.com, E-U-D-O-R-A.
Okay.
Hello, E-U-D-O-R-A.
Very easy for you to say.
So and apparently not. So those are the ones that are available for you. Good luck. It might be time to upgrade, though. Our next caller, Rich from Livonia. Welcome, Rich. What's your question? Rich, are you there? Hello, Rich. Apparently, we have no
Hello.
Rich.
There
Rich,
yes.
There you are.
Yes. Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
I was on my computer. I just bought a new monitor. The monitor went. And I was playing with the adjustments and stuff on it this morning. And all of a sudden, the computer just went off, and I can't restart it.
What happens when you try?
Nothing.
No, the fans don't try to spin, nothing tries
And it was funny because yesterday once we got the new monitor, they had the update for AVG.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried updating it. It would go through almost the whole process, and then it would say something about there was a problem getting it, so I thought maybe too many people were trying. This morning I went on and tried it. And it was saying it had a problem with
It sounds like a coincidental failure of the power supply.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not the monitor. It sounds like the actual computer.
Yep,
and you're really going to need to take it to somebody and have them check it out. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Folks, Wham Sports.
Sound Bites, America's longest running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
It must mean I'm Dave Enright.
One of us has to be better you than me.
And what's left is Steve Ray.
What do you mean, what's left?
And what's really left?
What's really left?
Are you saying then he's the dregs at the bottom of the...
What's left in this room.
Oh, I see.
Oh!
In the luxury suite.
And I'm Rob Linton.
He is Rob
Sitting
Linton.
There on his couch.
I am not exactly... Am I couch?
No, no, he's... We're the ones with the luxury suite. He's the one with the bare metal stool stoking the fires.
No, he got our old couch, the one with the springs popping up.
How long has this show been on Wham? Do you know now?
Four years.
4 years.
I have been with you guys for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feels more like 10, 15 to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we never promised you a rose garden.
Yep.
All right.
Best month of his life.
Dang straight.
Our next caller is Linda from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I've heard you speak a lot about DSL. I've got Roadrunner. What are the advantages of going to DSL, and what do I do with all my information that's on Roadrunner now?
What information do you have on Roadrunner?
Well, I mean, all my desktops and everything. What happens to all that if I switch from Roadrunner to DSL?
Nothing. The only thing that's really going to change is your email address.
Yeah, if you're using Roadrunner email, then you're going to have to tell all your friends that you've changed to DSL.
Right.
And aside from the improvement, you'll never notice the difference.
Okay. But it's always a catch-22. It depends on where you live. If you have a lot of people using Roadrunner in your neighborhood, you're Roadrunner slow. If you're a long way from the telephone switch, your DSL is slow. So it's very dependent on where you are and how many other people are using whatever service you're on.
I will be honest that I have recently switched to DSL, and I was getting, because I live in an incredibly crowded neighborhood.
And in the shadows of Pinnacle.
In the shadows of Pinnacle Hill. I was getting less than a megabyte download, and now I'm getting 6 with DSL. So personally, I couldn't possibly be happier.
I live on Long Pond Road across from Park Ridge Hospital. Now, I don't know where the nearest switching station is. So
they would be able to tell you that.
The Frontier folks can tell you that.
Okay, now it's phone plus high-speed internet for one price. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's the
right.
Yeah, that's the deal.
And it's similar to Roadrunner's all-in-one packages, too.
Yeah, they've got a number of packages. If you call them, they can fit one to your needs.
Okay. So, yeah, because I hear you guys talk about it a lot, and I know Nick had Roadrunner at one time, am I correct?
Yes, I did.
And okay. I've been using DSL.
And I was very happy with it, but I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled with DSL.
Same here. I've been with DSL way back when we were down on Brighton Henry at Town Line Road. And I mean,
when you were 3 feet from the phone switch,
yeah.
when the phone switch, you could kick when you walked into the back room.
Well, literally, if wasn't fast enough, I could pound on the wall.
Yeah, right.
But now I'm over on Empire Boulevard, and I mean, the same great service is right. They moved it right on over to there. I'd be dead without it. I mean, literally, trying to find updates and keep people's computers up to date. And everything else, it's just lightning fast, and therefore, it's very dependable.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm a huge, huge fan of DSL. For me, the speeds are incredible. It never goes out. It's wonderful.
The big issue with DSL is the 20,000-foot limit, and the farther are you away from the phone
but
switch.
You know,
a lot of people put too much reliance on the speed test websites you can go to.
They don't count. I'm talking about real downloads.
Right, at that specific instance, that's the speed you get, but you wait a minute, it'll be different.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it just varies so drastically.
But yeah, go for it, Linda.
And enjoy.
Call them, see what the deal is in your neighborhood, and they'll be able to tell
you all
that.
Tell them Soundbite sent you.
Exactly. Our next caller is Rose from Lyons, New York. Welcome, Rose. What's your question?
Okay.
I missed that. Oh, well. Go ahead, Rose.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You guys are fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I have, first of all, I got to tell you, I know how much you hate Internet Explorer. But it's all that's available where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can use any browser you want. It doesn't matter who
right,
your
you're
internet
right,
connection
you're right.
is.
Yep. I have Mozilla. You're right. Mm-hmm. Firefox. I do have that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. But my question is, I have a problem and it's called Prefetch, P-R-E-T-C-H.
Uh-huh. Right.
I was told that was a worm. Is it?
Well, where do you get it? Where do you find Prefetch coming up?
Well, first I found it in Windows.
Okay.
And we didn't know how to get rid of it because we were told it was a worm, so we took our computer in and had it wiped. And then we had it recovered. And we, in fact, we just brought it back Thursday. And it cost almost $300. Oh, my God.
Oh, holy mother of pearl.
One of the problems is that a lot of worms and viruses use the same names as real utilities. Prefetch is a real utility in Windows XP. It's a real utility part of Mozilla. Generically, it's a program that loads other programs into memory.
Yeah.
So in the background before you need them.
So if for something like Mozilla, it loads itself into memory when you boot your computer.
Okay.
So when you want to use Mozilla, it opens the page faster. So that prefetch is good. Oh. There may be another prefetch that you had that was a virus. But it's one of those iffy problems where it's the same name as a real utility. So keeping up to date with the antivirus programs and doing
spyware.
Yeah, but Prefetch by itself is not by itself a Trojan or a worm.
Yeah.
Prefetch is an actual part of Windows. I hate to tell you that after you spent...
Over $300.
Also, by the way, there are a whole lot of places that will fix your computer for less than $300.
Yeah, did they serve you lunch too, Rose?
Yeah, we have to take... I'm sorry, Rose. We got to go, but we'll be back in a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
See you all
online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones. We have Lynn on the line. Lynn, where are you calling from?
Calling from Clymer.
Clymer, not Coimer.
No. That's how he told me to spell it.
Signer of the Constitution.
Right.
Yep.
Can you spell that for us?
C-L-Y-M-E-R.
You know what? Yep. Be quiet from now on.
I'm just saying that public school education, he hasn't got his geography down right.
The Constitution, look in the lower right-hand corner, and you'll find George Clymer, and it was named after him.
Sure, right. just to the right of Button. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go look. What's your question, Lynn?
I lost part of my task manager.
Which part?
All I have left is the send message off in the lower right-hand corner of one of the pages. There's no tabs, no oscilloscope screen, no none of the rest of it. It's just not there.
Didn't know there was a send message in the task manager.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Are you in a particular program or?
No,
a whole pathology to this. Understand, I'm a newbie at this. I just started with computers early winter. But I was having trouble with shutting down the computer, and I found that it was a problem that the connection to my printer, the printer spooler, was not purging. And so when I tried to shut down, I couldn't. And after this problem, reinstalling drivers several times and so on, one time, I think it was last Monday night, I tried to shut down and I ended up with I couldn't shut it down. I tried to go to task manager and I got a task manager cascade. And it ran up, I don't know, I think it was 57, the 57 count on the cascade. And all I had after that was I couldn't get to the task manager, and all I had was that little corner of the one page. And I just can't do anything with it, and I don't know much about computers. But I thought you guys do, so.
When's the was this working okay yesterday, or how long has this been going on?
Well, I've had increasing problems for 2 months.
And, well, that's the old answer.
But it's always related to the printer, it seems to be, in my opinion.
And, of course, your antivirus, and you've been doing the Adaware and SpyBot?
I'm using SpyBot, Avito, Adaware, Vast, Zone Alarm.
Okay, and your antivirus software is up to date.
Mm-hmm.
You, Have you tried double-clicking on the border?
Yes.
There's a little. Is there a little red mark in the corner?
No. It's just like you took a utility knife and cut off just that little piece of that one page. And I can open it up by taking and getting the...
Some drivers are messed up.
Get the marker or the cursor right on the very corner and get the two-ended pointer.
Yeah,
there is. And I can pull that one page open, but I can't do anything with it.
There's something called tiny footprint mode. And if you go to the top of that page, you should see a little red mark in the upper right corner.
Now, where do I look for this?
In that task manager page.
The bit of the window that you have available to you.
Right. Just what you can see. And if you click on that, you come out of tiny footprint mode and back to regular mode. That's the way that's supposed to work. If it's not that, then there's something else wrong. We have to take a break, but we'll come back with a couple of pieces of information on the other side of the commercials, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Glenn. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. One last thought for our friend from before the break, Lynn. Lynn, what you might want to do is actually get somebody to look at this. It sounds like you've got a lot more problems than just...
Because he said it's been going on for about 3 months or
right, so. And if things are going bad, it could be your hard drive, could be memory, could be any one of a dozen things, and that's why you need to definitely talk to somebody before you move on. Before we go back to the phones, an interesting thing is now available. There's a company called Datadot Personal, or Datadot Technology, and they have little microscopic identifiers that you can put on your stuff. Artwork, cell phones, jewelry, stereos, bikes, whatever. Basically, it's a little unique personal asset DNA. It's about the size of a grain of salt, made of high-tech polyester substrate, laser etched with 50 characters of information. You register it on their website. It establishes ownership that can be recognized by police and insurance companies. It's not ARFID. You can't drive down the street and find it. But if it's found and this thing is on it,
sort of like your animal, the chip you put in an animal. You got to scan it.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not radio at all. It's just a little etched dot thing.
Micro dot, like they had in the spy movies.
Exactly. But at the very least, it will help you establish ownership that can be recognized by police and insurance companies. Well, Steve will put this on the website. It's at home.data.usa.com.
I found a different URL, data.dna.com.
And maybe that's the same place. Who knows? But at any rate, that's an interesting little new toy. It's not radio. It's just a little identifier, but it's a pretty neat thing. It's $20 a piece.
Yeah, I found a couple of companies in Australia and New Zealand. It looks like the Datadot is a technology patented by a single company, and a lot of companies are selling it.
Right. So you can pay whatever you like for it. Our next caller, Ron from Avon, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Listen, whenever I can. A while back, you were talking about the blank recording disc.
Yes.
In minus and plus format. You said plus format never took off. Are you talking about CDs or DVDs?
Both. Right. The minus formats are much more common on computers and video players and TVs and things like that.
Yeah, right. The same with DVDs.
Right. The plus format's a little more useful because it's a random rewrite like your hard drive is.
RAM, huh?
Right, you can write and erase and rewrite again, much easier than the minus RWs, which you have to erase the whole disk to rewrite it again.
Yeah.
But since they're not that common, it's hard to give a plus disk to someone else and have them be able to read it.
You said that they never took off. They think they're going to get rid of them eventually or not?
Well, the most drives being sold now are plus and minus.
Oh, they are.
But the older drives were minus only.
Yeah.
So if you're only going to use the disks on your own computer, the plus ones are fine. They're a little more expensive, though, which is another reason they never took off that well.
Not really. They're about the same price in Walmart.
Yeah. The whole thing is going to get replaced by the next generation, the high definition DVDs, which is now a fight between HD DVD from Toshiba and Blu-ray from Sony, storing between 30 and 50 gigabytes per disc beyond the 8 gigabytes of the current discs. So it's we're going to have to see how that next format works out. And the big thing is to put high-definition movies on a single disc.
Right. All right. Our next caller, Annie from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Annie. What's your question?
Hi. I just bought a computer, and this is my first computer in January.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm currently relying on public wireless networks to access Internet.
Yeah.
And I'm somewhat concerned about the privacy. I want to know.
You should be.
There is no privacy.
So does that mean that anybody can see what I have on the screen or what I type in?
Well, what happens is this. When you send something out over the network, you're blasting it out by radio. Anybody can pick up that radio signal if they want to. So logging into your email, unless it's a secure connection to the email company, will send your password out plain text for anybody to read. If your email system is not secure, HTTPS, for example, instead of HTTP, if you're doing webmail,
right,
or with a secure connection, which you have to click on and set up in your email program, if you don't have a secure connection, then you definitely have what we call plain text, and anybody can read it. There are a couple of programs that just anybody can download off the internet, which will capture every packet coming over the wireless.
So, yes, someone can read everything on your screen, every email you send out, every website you go to.
Well, that's why they say, you know, if you're doing wireless, especially, you're sitting in a coffee shop,
right,
couple rules. Uh-huh. One, you don't share any folders on your computer. Two, you don't do any banking. You know, if you're going to be online and, you know, typing in passwords and that type of stuff, you don't want to do any online banking if you're sitting in a coffee shop.
So
you
any passwords. I shouldn't be typing any passwords when I'm in a coffee shop.
Unless you're on a secured website.
Yeah. Which means...
If it says HTTPS, then I can type anything in and it'll be all right?
Well, now it depends. Is it 40-bit encryption, 64-bit encryption, 128-bit encryption? 40-bit encryption can be broken in seconds. 64-bit in hours, 128-bit in days. So...
It's safest to not do anything with passwords when you're on an open wireless connection.
Yeah. I realize you're depending on public wireless to do stuff,
right,
but the reality is that it's probably not your best bet to do.
Got it. So the most economical way is to do a phone dial-in then, I mean, without paying the $50, $60 to get DSL or cable.
Well, most of the high-speed internets are $30 a month.
Yeah, check out some of the deals. I mean,
although dial-up is $10 a month, so that's...
Well, now, but that's changing, too.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
A lot of the companies have packages where you can get internet and telephone and television and can bind them all together if you want.
Yeah, check with Frontier right now. I mean, they've got some great packages out there. Whether you want just DSL or DSL and phone, DSL, phone, and dish. I mean, check them out and see what they've got to offer you.
All right, listen, we're going to take another break. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. Rob is in with the news, and we're going to find out about the weather and the sports. Poor Don Knotts. Don Knotts has passed away.
And
Darren McGavin,
yeah,
who was the Night Stalker.
Kolchak,
the real Night Stalker, not the fake Night Stalker that's been on lately. The real Night Stalker, thank you very much. When we come back, we've got Mark and Tom on the line. We're going to talk about Google. We're going to talk about AOL. We're going to talk about BlackBerry. Those of you with BlackBerries, you're going to definitely want to listen into this one. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on what you all know is the greatest computer show in the known universe. Say it with me, folks. It's Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk about our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about protecting your Macintosh against viruses and Trojans. 206 of you voted. Thanks, each and every one of you. Most of you do not protect your systems. Do not protect your systems at all, unfortunately.
Which is good for me.
Which is very good for you and for Steve. but for Mac users, it's not so much.
Yeah, it's...
There have been a few viruses. A couple of them were just very badly written and required a whole lot of user... interaction to
that's,
work.
That's been the bigger debate. Was it a virus or was it a Trojan?
Well, it's unimportant, actually.
It's a Trojan that had a virus in it.
Right. But there are more and more probes going on, I guess is the best way to call them. There are more and more people who are trying to hit Macs. And so I'm thinking, you know, the honeymoon is over. It's time to make sure that you're running an antivirus program and make sure you're safe. I know that you all pride yourselves on going commando on the internet with your Macintosh, but it may not be necessarily the best possible choice for you anymore. You know, the party's over. Get over it. This week's poll is about your favorite way of keeping in touch. We have a great case, the BlackBerry, as you know.
Oh, yes. That's been going back and forth.
Has been going back and forth for a while. So our question is, what's your favorite way to keep in touch? The BlackBerry, the cell phone, email, instant messaging, a landline, a pager, don't call me, I'll call you, and of course, the Macintosh. and the whole point of this is that the BlackBerry seems to be incredibly popular in certain places. bless you.
And especially in the U.S. government. In fact, I got a kick out of it. There was a petition going around that even if the BlackBerry service was shut down for copyright reasons, they wanted to exempt the government workers to let them keep using it.
Yeah, and RIM basically said, we have no idea how to do that. That's not,
Canadian company is one of
the problems.
Yeah.
The government really can't control a Canadian company. I don't know if they knew that. But at any rate, the whole point here is that RIM, Research in Motion, who puts out the BlackBerry, has been sued by a company called NTP, which has a patent that they believe RIM is infringing on. Of course, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has declared NTP's patents invalid, but that doesn't seem to have done anything about the lawsuit. There's more than 3 million BlackBerry users in the United States, and they're all pretty breathless at this moment, and they're all fanatics.
Every single
one of them, you'll pry my BlackBerry out of my cold, dead hands. Well, at that point, it may be a cold, dead BlackBerry, actually. But so our question is, what do you use? So far, of course, unsurprisingly, email is the top. Get 82 people voting so far. Email, cell phones, don't call me. BlackBerry is number 5 on the list. My favorite choice, of course, is don't call me, I'll call you.
That's what I selected.
I like being unavailable. I'm sorry. It's just I have enough people following me around. I don't mind
when you call my house, my home number. You'll get the answering machine. If I want to answer, start talking into the answering machine, and you might.
And if you block your caller ID, I'm not going to answer.
Well, yeah, that's it for me,
that
too.
Really rips you. No, you got to redial and hit wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, right. I've said this before. My wife has always been an avid camper. To me, roughing it is when room service is late.
Yeah.
No. I camp. I just have it catered.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always said that. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind camping. You're talking about blocked caller IDs and stuff like that? Okay. I got a phone call yesterday morning, like 7:30. It was a telemarketer. Okay. I pick up the phone because, you know, naturally.
What time?
7:30 on a Saturday morning.
Someone didn't look at their time zone list.
Right. Well, they're off in a third world somewhere. Anyway, he calls me up and I said, do you know what time it is? Well, yes, I do. But do you have a minute? And I said, no, click. You know, I mean, it's just
there's a thing called do not call
list. I've stopped being polite.
Apparently that doesn't work. I'm sorry, because I still get calls. I've registered all my phone numbers on the Do Not Call list.
Works for me.
A lot of the companies don't look at the Do Not Call list because they're outside the U.S.
Yeah, well, they need to start looking because I was ticked.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I always wait. When I get a call like that, I always wait to hear what they're selling, and then I never buy from that company.
Right.
I just want to know what it is that I won't be buying and why.
Well, the best is when you get those fundraising phone calls, and then if you really are busy and you can't talk, they get an attitude with you.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm really going to give your organization money now that you got snobby with me on the phone because I'm trying to eat dinner or something along those lines.
Oh, right. No, you ask them, all right, tell you what, give me your number at home.
Yeah.
So I can call and interrupt you at dinner. And to give you my credit card number.
Right. Give me your number. I'll call you back at 4 a.m. Hopefully clowns. We'll be in the shower.
Yeah.
Although, not to be too defensive, but some of our customers are telemarketers. And
Well, but as long as they follow the rules, don't call me at 7 a.m., don't call me after 8 p.m.,
And don't call me if I'm on the list. Weekend.
Exactly, and don't call me if I'm on the list.
I was at the home of the president of one of our telemarketing customers, and he got called by a telemarketer.
Yeah.
And after he hung up with him, he says, boy, I hope my people don't sound like that.
See, it's all about the attitude. It's all about when they call. I mean, if you, there's nothing wrong with telemarketers. What's wrong is the way some of them abuse the privilege of me having a public phone number.
Well, they talk as fast as they can, so you can't say no thanks and hang up.
Then you just hang
then
up.
You just hang up.
There's no problem. I just hang up.
Well, I like the ones that you can tell there's a computer somewhere doing the dialing.
But you can always tell because there's a pause.
Right, a pause before the live person comes on. So you say hello.
And that gives me just enough time to hang up.
You know what works? Let me give you a hint. And I had this on my last answering machine, but my wife changed the message. On the last answering machine message. I recorded the do-do-do that you get when you get a this number is disconnected. And I put that at the front of my message.
Right.
The computers hear that, hang up, and take you off the list.
Nice. Where would you find that noise, though?
I have it on my computer, and I just held the phone by the computer and did beep, beep, beep. Thanks for calling the Francescos, blah, 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 blah. So it worked. It worked for months. We never got a call.
Well, I personally think my method of just breaking out into a mad rage of Tourette's on them works real well as well.
No, you keep an air horn next to the phone.
That would work.
That's my air horn.
That would be good. I already have an air horn. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Like I say, I just go simple, less frustration, answering machine.
Yeah.
You just let that handle it.
Call call ID. If you don't know who it is, I'm not going to answer it.
That's right. If they're not actually in the list. And
sometimes if I do know who it is, I may not answer.
I don't even bother with caller ID because usually I'm in the living room. If I hear it and if I want to talk to the person, I'll pick it up.
See, that's the annoying thing is you got to get up and walk to the phone.
You're right. All right. We're going to go back to our phones now where hopefully Tom from Canandaigua is not a telemarketer calling to sell us something. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a 2-year-old computer runs XP Home, and the hard drive is starting to get noisy, especially during startup.
Yep.
And I see everybody's got them on sales, but then they want quite a few dollars to install and transfer the operating system and everything, and I understand that's what you fellows do to make some money. Is this something a layperson can get through?
Mm-hmm.
As long as the original hard drive hasn't
failed completely.
As long as as Steve was saying, as long as it hasn't failed, usually it's the price of the hard drive. In my case, my business, we usually do it in about a couple hours.
Yeah, it depends on how much data there is.
Basically, you just sit there and start a ghosting program and ghost it from one hard drive over to the other.
There's also two types of hard drives you can buy. One is what's called a raw drive. It's just a hard drive in a box, and you stick that in your computer and do all the transfers yourself. You can also get hard drive kits that come with cables and software and manuals, and a lot of times that software is a what's called a cloning program intended to copy all the stuff from your old hard drive to your new hard drive.
And you got to watch out the warranty. Like most of my drives right now, the Western Digital all carry a 3-year warranty. They've got an 8K buffer. So again, you got to see what you're getting for your buck.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheaper drives.
Yeah, the cheaper drives are cheaper, one, because of maybe their warranty. It doesn't have an 8K buffer. You got to check the spin speed. You know, I mean, there's a lot of variables there. So, you know, check it out. If you got any questions, give me a call. You know, I've had a number of folks asking about this. You know, give me a call at my office on Monday, 442-4843, you know, and I can fill you in a little bit more about it and what's involved.
You know, that depends on what you're doing with your computer. Yeah. For, you know, for basic use, a 5,400 RPM is probably okay. If you're doing video production, you want a 10,000 RPM.
Yeah.
So it's,
most
it's
of the ones,
faster.
Like I say, I'm carrying now are the 7,200
RPM. Yeah, 72
RPM.
Is the common now.
72 with an 8K buffer.
Meg.
Huh? Yeah.
8 meg buffer.
8 meg buffer.
Why
yeah.
do I say K?
Because, you know, because you're old. You remember when 8K was a whole lot.
It was a whole lot.
No, that's it. No, thank you for reminding me. Yeah. We were talking.
Wait, can we finish with Tom?
No, I'll come back to him in a minute. We were talking about old computers. And talking about how 8K was a lot of memory to program. Yep. And we got into, I can name that song in, you know, and I can do this program in. Remember that? Nick?
Yep. The first computer I played with, my father-in-law had a Cosmac VIP that I got to play with. It had 256 bytes of RAM, and you could do a lot with it.
So, yeah, again, Mark, sorry for the tangent, but we had to go off on that.
We?
Yeah. We're all sitting here. You want to definitely, you know, check around. But, yes, it can be done. And if it's starting to give you issues right now, you're hearing noises and that's the time to get it done before it totally crashes on you. And then,
we've both had those customers, you know, my hard drive crashed. Well, yeah. Any symptoms before? Yeah, but for about 6 months, it's been making this weird noise.
Mm-hmm.
should have came in 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't be charged the $300-$400. Bench time for data recovery.
Right, right, right.
Or we send it off to Drive Savers in California.
And that's $1,000
$1,000
just to say
minimum.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Our next caller, Mark from Webster, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I have a file or program called Alpha Cleaner, ALFA Cleaner.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it came from. All of a sudden, it's there, and it looks like it's trying to clean up your computer of viruses. I stopped it in its process, and it just popped up, it seems. I went through Adaware, and it found it as, a virus.
It is a virus. Yeah. You need to get rid of it.
And it's one of those sneak...
It grabbed all 40 files, and it said it was getting rid of it, but it never really does.
It's one of those sneaky programs that claims to be an anti-spyware program. So the window pops up and says, you're infected with spyware. Click here to download this program to clean it. And it's worse than you had before.
Right.
And they charge you for it.
But Adaware won't get rid of it, apparently. It isolates it, and it says it's getting rid of it. But
did you also run SpyBot?
Yes. SpyBot, it doesn't even show up on. SpyBot was clear.
You may have to run it in safe mode because a lot of these nastier spywares can't be deleted because they're running. So a lot of times you have to run in safe mode, and sometimes even if that doesn't work, you have to go into msconfig and turn off all of the startup items and go into safe mode.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try that.
Because some of the really nasty ones are very hard to remove.
I mean, because there are other utilities, but I don't recommend them for the average person, like hijack this. You've really got to know what you're doing because you're eliminating stuff from starting, and if you eliminate too much, you could really mess up the machine.
Right.
Yeah, you want to be careful of that.
I was going to say reloading the system over the top of it wouldn't do anything.
No. Erasing the hard drive would, but that's very drastic and unnecessary.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Dan and Mark and... Mark is gone. We've got Dan and David and Rich on the line. We've got Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. In this room, we've got the great Rob Linton. In the other room, we've got all of you listening in. I don't know what more we need except a couple of commercials to keep us happy. Back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites.
They can only hear what goes on.
Oh, man, we really don't want them to have heard the last set. Our next caller is Dan from Ontario, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
On my computer, my time seems to change. Even though my computer's off, the next morning I'll wake up and my time's changed, and it always says 4:20.
Oh, you have a virus. There is, what is this? It's the
the 420 virus.
Yeah, the 420 section 4 paragraph 20 of the penal penal codes is a marijuana.
Is marijuana
possession.
Yeah, legalizing marijuana.
So it's yeah, it's some of the local radio stations always play interesting songs at 4:20 p.m.
Yeah, right. It's I guess you don't you don't really know about that, but it is if you're not in the culture, it's called the weed virus, and 4:20 is one of the euphemisms for marijuana, they tell me, and so there's that actual virus that sets the time to 4:20, pretty much all the time.
Yeah, you should display a graphic.
So, are you running the Security Tango?
No, I got Norton.
Is it up to date though?
Oh yeah.
I would dance the tango. Yeah. Go to securitytango.com, click on the Let's Dance button, and follow right from print it out. Follow it right from the top to the bottom. Don't skip a single step. It may be that the weed virus is just the one that you've seen. You may have hundreds in there.
Yeah, because it might be in his restore files, and if he's got those turned on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Follow the...
Yeah, the Norton's not going to get rid of it.
Right.
Well, it might for that moment, and then the minute he restarts, it comes right back.
So if you follow the tango, that'll turn that off and do everything for you.
And there's also several variants of it. Some of them pop up a message wanting to legalize marijuana at 4:20 p.m.
Yeah.
No, that's Homer Simpson and his donuts.
That's donuts.
A perfectly legal addiction.
Exactly. As we all know. Well, two or three of us know.
Yep.
Two out of the four of us know. All right. Well, definitely do that. Definitely run the Security Tango. Dance Security Tango and see what
infected.
Happens. Our next caller is David from Lima, New York. Welcome, David. What's your question?
In my startup page, the connection to the server has been reset while pages are loading. That's constant. Every time I hook up to the internet, that's what's going to be showing on me.
Say it again, please.
On my startup page, what it comes through, it says the connection to the server has been reset while pages are loading, and I get that constant. Although I've done ping tests, and it shows that the sending and the receiving are good.
If you go to other pages, do they work?
No. I can go on my home page, which is Google or Frontier or anything. It doesn't matter where I'm at. It's going to come back as that connection to the server has been reset.
But if you ping things, you're there.
Yes. Yep. And it shows that the corresponding between...
What changes have you made? What
OS.
What operating system are you running?
XP.
Home or Pro?
Home.
What browser are you running? Internet Explorer?
Actually, what the heck's that name? What's the Internet Explorer we're using? I can't figure it right now. Firefox.
Okay, Firefox. It's one of a couple of things. What's your connection to the internet?
56K dial-up.
To whom?
Frontier.
Okay. The first thing you want to do is talk to the folks at Frontier. They have great tech support.
Geez, I probably talked to them.
All right, and they say everything is fine.
We've gone through more tests than I even dare
to say. Okay, that's the first step. I'm glad you did that.
Yes.
The next step is, did they talk you through opening up Firefox and checking your proxy server?
Yep, I've disabled my...
Excellent.
Firewall there.
No, that's not your proxy server.
Oh.
In Firefox, if you go to Tools, Options, General, under Connection Settings... You have a choice of direct connect to the internet, auto detect proxy settings for this network, manual proxy configuration.
Okay.
You probably want to say direct connection to the internet, or at best, auto detect proxy settings. Because if you have somehow set manual proxy configuration, then what you've got is the system is looking for what's called a proxy machine, which is kind of a different... server out there that protects you from certain things and caches certain things. But if you haven't got one, it's looking for it and looking for it and looking for it and just not able to get it.
Right.
So you want to make sure it says direct connection to the internet. That's probably the best one for you. And then just make sure you're dialed in before you open up Firefox and you'll be good to go. So check that out and call us back and let us know. But that's really the next thing.
Yeah.
You've done real well up to now getting, talking to the folks at Frontier, getting that and set, making sure those things were all good. This is the next step in the test.
Well, one other question before I let you go.
Mm-hmm.
As far as my actual connection, let's say everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
The best I can ever get, maybe it's because of where I'm at, is 24. And they should say about 32 to 48 ought to be my, what is it, KPS or something like that?
Right.
Yeah, over the phone, you know, I mean, that's...
That depends on a million things.
Yeah.
And well, that's true of really any connection. I've had squirrels chew my lines and, you know, drop my connection. It's,
especially
it's
during the winter right now.
It's a little bit of everything, and there can never be a guarantee about that, no matter what your connection
is. Down to the brand of modem you have, how many other phones you have on that telephone line, how long has it been since the phone lines in your house have been replaced, or the phone lines from your house to the pole been replaced?
Yeah. How close are you to any sort of
switching station?
How close are you to a tower that might be broadcasting something? What else have you got? Maybe you've got, you know, a brand new speaker system that's close to your phone line, and it's pounding magnetic waves through the line. I mean, it could be any one of a million things, David. But let's start with that
one server, and
let us know.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Rich from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I've got a Pentium 4, 1.8 gigahertz. It's, 5 years old maybe, 768 megabytes of RAM. The problem, I'm pretty IT savvy. I worked in the industry for a long time. But this is really giving me fits. What happened is... I have a hard drive now that I'm running Windows XP Pro, and what happens is every so often when I reboot, the machine will just come up to a black screen with a blinking white cursor, and believe it or not, the only way that I can reboot with my Norton Ghost Disk to restore from a backup or to boot with any kind of CD. Even the Windows XP Pro CD, I have to repartition the hard drive. Otherwise, when I boot the system, it won't even boot off of the CD. But if I disconnect the hard drive or if I repartition it, then it will boot off of the CD.
Well, you know the answer to this one, Rich. You just don't want to admit it. You need
that?
A new hard drive and/or a new controller card.
Well, I put in the new hard drives and... it does the same thing.
Then it's the controller card.
Okay.
Yeah, DMA controller on the motherboard.
It had to be the controller.
Yeah. Yep. You got it. You knew what the answer was. I know it's a painful answer, but that's your answer.
Yeah, it's your controller on the motherboard.
Now, the good news is you can disable the one in the machine and just connect an external one. What are they, $30?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And I probably should have gone out and tried that before I called you, but... No,
we would have missed this delightful conversation, Rich.
That's right. Hey, one other quick question.
Sure.
I've got a PhotoSmart HP printer, and it's USB. And for some reason, every so often, it just doesn't recognize it. And a little triangle comes up and says, you know, you lost your connection. And I just click on it and say reconnect. And most of the time, it will reconnect again. But... it has nothing to do with the cables being loose or anything like that.
Rich, what you might want to do is, since you're already having DMA controller problems on the motherboard, you might want to just look at a new motherboard and processor.
Yeah, it may be that whole motherboard's going.
This thing could be just giving you warning signs. If the DMA is going bad and the USB ports, which are also built onto the motherboard, are going bad, that might be forewarning you to, you know, go get a new motherboard.
I have seen those type of problems with USB devices. Because Windows and the Mac even doesn't auto-detect all the time looking for a new USB device, it may see that printer now. I've seen it both ways. It may see the printer as a second printer, and you end up with two of them auto-detected, or it may not see it at all until it auto-detects again. So it's the USB auto-detect can be a little bit flaky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Our next caller, Matt. From Gasport, New York. Welcome, Matt. What's your question?
Hey, good afternoon. Great show, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, you've helped me before, so I heard a couple of your phone calls, which made me wanted to call. But I had a virus on my my laptop, or you know, I got a couple of teenagers, so you can imagine what this might or might not be opened up from time to time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But And it starts off slow, and then it gets gradually worse and worse. And,
yep.
But what I try to do is, I don't know if you want, it seems like it's a virus that makes the whatever page I'm on scroll all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, I'll give you an example. Even when I put it in safe mode, trying to run like a virus scan or something, you know, trying to make it a, you know, make sure I clean off the hard drive or whatever, it scans all the way down to the bottom. Wouldn't even let me go up to the, you know, the safe mode.
All right, what?
That might be the keyboard. The down arrow stuck.
Yeah.
Or the page down key is stuck.
Yeah, if it happens on everything, no matter what you're on, it may be that the page down key is stuck, or that's the more, or page down or the down arrow.
Uh-huh.
You're also running SpyBot Nataware on every user ID.
Yeah, I reloaded Windows XP hoping this would. You know, get rid of my problem, but it very slowly, kind of gradually, kind of comes back.
The thing that is, how many other users are identified in that computer?
Well, the last time I didn't put anybody on there.
Okay. But see, even though you're putting Windows over Windows, if you've got the spyware in there, that doesn't get rid of it. Because all you're doing, the identity still stays the same, but the programs get updated just for Windows.
Right. Try this.
Okay.
Matt, first download the entire Security Tango suite on another machine and burn a CD.
Okay.
Then put that CD in your current machine and follow the Tango step by step by step. And see if that does it for you. If that doesn't do it, from the descriptions, it could possibly be a keyboard problem.
Well, you know, that was one of my backdoor questions with Sandy. Does it sound more like hardware or software problem?
Well, it's hard to tell without sitting in front of it. But
yeah.
So I would run it certainly can't hurt to run the Security Tango on it anyway. If you've got teenagers on a laptop, yeah, definitely. But if that doesn't do it, then it's a hardware problem.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks. I did hear that thing when you were saying before about the Security Tango, and I thought, you know, that sounds like something. But then before that, you were talking something about Hijack, where I thought, is this thing on the startup, you know, and is that where it keeps rolling?
Definitely give that a try.
Yep.
Okay.
Try the Tango. The Tango helps a lot of people. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. We got John and Jim and Marie on the line, and we'll be back with all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers, but then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. But I never got to finish my little spiel about the poll. Get in there and vote in the poll. We've got 100 people, 101 people who voted. When you're done with that, of course, the little yellow box underneath will send you over to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Where you can... Yeah, you're a little slow there, son. Let's try it again.
That's asknick.com.
Much better. Where you can leave an opinion. We've got 6 people who've left an opinion so far. And then take a look around Ask Nick. You might find something you like, and then come back and join us in the forums. We've got the niftiest people on earth in our forums on Soundbites, and they're lovely folks. So come and join us.
Although I'm not too sure all of them are completely and firmly planted on Earth.
Yes. There are quite a number of them, in fact, who we believe are on their own plane of existence, at least.
Happy.
That was the big debate on Stargate this week. Is it an alternate dimension or an alternate reality?
Or is it alternately we should just go back to the phones and talk to John from Ithaca, New York?
It's an alternate dimension.
Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. My son's away at college. He's got an iBook. He's had it for about 4 years. When he turns it on, he just gets the disk symbol with a question mark on it, and then after a little while, it shuts itself down. Is there any way to diagnose that?
Well, that's two different problems. The flashing question mark is that it can't find an operating system to boot from. Do you know if it smiles before the flashing question mark or straight to flashing question mark?
I'm not sure. I think it's just a question mark, you know, and a little disk.
Yeah, this is what we Windows people miss. You can't ask questions like, does it smile before it has no clue? Is it happy that it has no clue? We missed that.
Or is a suitcase missing? Yeah.
That's the diagnostics. If it smiles, that means it saw the hard drive, and flashing question mark means it can't boot from it. If it doesn't smile, it may not even be seeing
you
the hard drive.
You have an unhappy Mac?
No, that's a different different icon. The sad Mac icon is a hardware fault.
And that's a Mac attack?
Yeah. So it could be that the operating system is damaged and it can't boot from the hard drive, or the hard drive itself is damaged and it can't boot from it. Powering down without any user intervention it could be a sign of a bad battery, something wrong in the power management system, because it should stay on forever on that flashing question mark, unless you physically turn it off.
Okay, I think he said it shut itself down, but I'm not positive of that. So is there any way to get beyond that?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do. There's some diagnostic discs that came with the computer. You can run the disk first aid diagnostic, and that will tell you if it can see the hard drive at all. And if it sees the hard drive, it might be able to repair any of the damage that's been done in the software. And if it sees the hard drive, you can try reinstalling the operating system. If it doesn't see the hard drive at all in the hardware test or in the disk utility, then you probably will end up needing a new hard drive.
Okay, so yeah, because he hasn't found those discs that came with it, so we have to find those, I guess, is the first issue then.
Yeah, finding the diagnostic discs helps. Yeah. and the system reinstall discs if it comes to that as well.
Now, if he lost those discs, is there any way to get copies of those? Will Mac send you copies of those?
You can call Apple. It's their customer fulfillment center, and get replacement discs. They're usually about $30 a piece. And some of the, depending on which model and generation computer it is, it might be five or six CDs or one or two DVDs. You can buy a current new version of the operating system. That would give you the operating system, but not any of the bundled software that the computer might have come with.
Okay, so we have to find those discs or get replacement, it sounds like, is the first step.
That's a step one.
The first step.
That's
the
cheapest.
You can also take it into a shop, and they might be able to help diagnose your problems before you go that far. You said he's away at college. Do you have the computer here?
No, he's got the computer.
Okay. Yeah, so if you were local in town, you could come into our shop. That's Mac Ave.
Well, what about at the school?
Depending on how big a school he is, they might have a IT department, computer repair shop. Sometimes at the bookstore where they sell the computers, they also have some sort of diagnostic team there that can help try to diagnose and repair the computers as well.
Might save you some money there, too.
Yep.
Yeah, give that a shot. Now, Steve. The customer fulfillment center? I thought Mac customers were always fulfilled. Our next caller is Jim.
Oh, you really want to get him going, don't you?
From Lima, New York. Welcome, Jim. Jeez. What's your question?
Hi.
It's our second call from Lima today.
It's a big village.
It's a big village.
I was getting an NMI parity check error, which came at the end. I'm using, I have Windows XP, and it was coming up at the, you know, when it was booting down, and it would just give me a blue screen, and it wouldn't let me shut down at all. I'd actually have to kill the power to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a friend. He told me to run check disk with a /F to fix it.
Yeah.
I did that. It fixed, according to the log that went through, a ton of files.
Yeah.
And now I don't see that parity check, but I'm getting svchost.exe. It's referencing memory, blah, blah, blah.
Let me suggest two things.
Yeah.
Okay.
First, you need to go to memtest86.com.
Okay.
That site will let you download a free memory tester.
Okay.
That makes sense. For any 8086 chip, memtest86.com. There are a couple of versions. The best one, if you have If you have a CD burner,
okay,
download the version 3.2 ISO image and 3.2, and burn the CD, and that will let you create a bootable CD, reboot with that CD, and let it run a memory test for about 24 hours.
Okay.
That will tell you if there is a memory problem and which chip it's on.
And that NMI error is usually a memory problem.
Yeah.
But it also could be corrupt files on your hard drive trying to access invalid points
of
memory.
It needs a good diagnostic.
But that's the place to start.
Yeah.
Because when you get an NMI error, you check there first. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray Roblin, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHM.
Wham! It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We have to get back to the phones, but I just have to read. This is my favorite news story of the week. AOL has decided there are too many dial-up users. They have too many dial-up users. You know, they offer both dial-up and broadband access.
Yep.
So you would think, we'll make the broadband more attractive so more people will get it. Oh, no. They're raising the price of dial-up. Broadband costs about $45 a month, and that's gone down. But it seems that their dial-up is now going to cost you $25.90 per month. $26 a month to dial up to AOL.
Go to DSL.
That's worth it. Exactly. I mean, at that point, you get it all, and it's a way better deal all the way around. And I don't know why you wouldn't, but that's my favorite story. We won't raise the bridge, we'll lower the river. Our next caller is Marie from Victor, New York. Welcome, Marie. What's your question?
Good afternoon. My question is this. I have an iBook and an iMac desktop, and I want to back up both of those hard drives. So I just purchased an external hard drive yesterday, and I'm wondering what is the process that I have to go through in order to back up the two hard drives of my iBook and my iMac?
There's a couple of ways you can do it, depending on how technically sophisticated you want to be.
I'm not very technically sophisticated.
The easiest way is to plug in the hard drive to each computer and drag the contents of your internal hard drive to the external hard drive. Just drag the icons, and that copies all the files.
Okay. Can I just drag the icon of the hard drive to the backup hard drive?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, that will back up everything on the computer.
Yes.
Which includes stuff you don't necessarily need backed up, like the operating system, because you already
Steve,
have the disks for that.
One question, though. She's doing two different machines.
Yeah.
It shows up as two icons on the backup
drive. Will
she
be able to tell the difference, or should she create folders on?
Well, that's a good point.
That external.
If the name of both of your hard drives is the same, your internal hard drive, your desktop hard drive is Macintosh HD, and the laptop is also Macintosh HD.
Yes.
You may want to either rename one of those or create two folders on the external hard drive.
One
says laptop, one says desktop.
Okay.
There are backup programs, and my favorite is one called Silver Keeper, which is a free program at silverkeeper.com.
Okay.
And that, the advantage of a backup program is that it only backs up changed files.
Yeah.
So the next time you back something up, you have to drag copy everything again and wait for the hours it takes to copy.
I see.
By using a backup program, you can back up changed files, and then it's a lot faster.
Okay. Now, the software that came with this hard drive, the external hard drive that I just had, has a silver lining on it. And it does have Silver Keeper on the CD.
Yeah, Silver Lining is the driver software that you need if you're still running OS 9.
Okay.
If you're running OS 10, you could ignore that. So
all
the
right.
Silver Keeper program, you apparently bought a LaCie hard drive because there's the company that makes Silver Keeper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can use that program to back up each hard drive. And
okay.
And then the second time and the next time you back it up, it just does the changed files, which is a lot faster.
Oh, yes. That makes a lot more sense than to continue to back everything up again.
Right. Or keep track yourself of what you've changed and only copy those files.
Okay. And do I have to manually back it up then? It doesn't back up everything. every 3 days? Or
well, Silver Keeper has a scheduling function, so you can schedule it to happen.
Okay.
The schedule is a single time a day, so you can schedule it at 5 p.m.,
okay,
and it will run like that for you.
Great. Last question.
Well, I'm sorry. We don't have time for last question, Marie. I'm sorry. We're done. We're out of time for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I apologize to everybody to whom we did not get, particularly Marie, who only got to ask a couple of questions. We'll be back next week. Call earlier next week. That's how that works. We're here every Sunday from 11 to 1.
Post your questions in the forums.
Or post your questions in the forums or send us an email about them. You can see all that stuff on the website. We will, of course, be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We have Dave Enright. We have Steve Ray. We have Rob Linton. Definitely join us in the forums. Definitely join us everywhere else. And we will be back here next week on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.